day after markets belly flopped into the pool, investors are learning to float again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Stock markets today are still reacting to Standard & Poor's U.S. debt downgrade, and we'll get to how they're doing in just a moment. First, though, some indications are that we're headed for another possible recession. Just look at what Asian investors are doing. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz.
If you look beyond how the Asian markets did today, you'll see the biggest losers were Toyota, Sony, Samsung, all companies that export to the U.S. Asian investors are preparing for another U.S. recession.
There are certainly many folk in the market who think that's a very, very strong possibility.
Stephen Green is an economist at Standard Chartered Bank in Hong Kong. He says Asian investors are looking beyond the U.S. being downgraded. They're also nervous about tepid growth data from the U.S., the sovereign debt crisis in the EU, and
given the lack of momentum, given the lack of obvious stimulative policies, many in the markets are also skeptical that China has the ability to stimulate like it did in 2008.
China helped cushion the blow of the last recession with a $500 trillion stimulus package. Much of that money was wasted on poorly conceived real estate or transportation projects. And for many of those projects, the money won't be paid back. If there is another recession, say economists, China may not even be able to come to its own rescue. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Well, markets are higher here at home. For the moment anyway, the Dow is up 220 points, about 2%. At 11,030. Asian shares were down today. European markets are mixed. Today, the Federal Reserve Board's Open Market Committee will meet and look at possibly what the policy can do to help calm a rattled economy and create some jobs here in the United States. Just about everything we've reported about the downgrade of the U.S. credit rating has focused on the havoc that it's caused. But the saying goes, there are two sides to every story. So Marketplace's Jeff Horwich is here to tell us about any upsides to this downgrade and market madness. Good morning, Jeff.
Hello, Steve.
Let's start with the markets now. Is there any upside for investors?
So one of the perverse effects of the last few days is that people ran to the very thing that got downgraded, U.S. Treasuries. Mm-hmm. If you were invested there, you did okay. Precious metals, also a safe haven. So if you're Scrooge McDuck, already sitting on a big pile of gold, you're happy. And then there's the general upside of a stock market rout, which is that at some point, it turns into a bargain. Frank Fantozzi of Planned Financial Services believes that point is now.
Savvy investors should recognize that this is an opportunity to buy in at a discount, considering that's comparable to the low point in 2009 when we were in our financial recession.
So, all right, the stock market, and we see that it's up today. So are there other upsides out there?
Well, you see, the price of oil has been down. That could mean lower gas prices. It also, in a bigger sense, helps cool worries about inflation. Let's say the downgrade is helping usher us into another downturn. Retail expert Randy Allen at Cornell's Johnson School of Management says hard times lead to good deals.
You know, the drop in the stock market makes consumers feel less wealthy. If the home prices start to decline again, I think consumers will tighten up and retailers will be forced to react, which will create opportunities for consumers for good buys.
And finally, let's not forget the game-changing upside, potentially, to the S&P downgrade, that it actually has the intended effect of kicking our politicians in the pants. That's not so evident yet, but S&P just gave a whole bunch more reasons for politicians to feel the heat from voters, at least voters other than Scrooge McDuck.
All right. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich. Jeff, thanks.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Healthcare coverage is supported in part by the California Endowment, a health foundation dedicated to expanding access to healthcare for all Californians.
British Prime Minister David Cameron is holding parliamentary talks today. After big riots have erupted in many parts of the UK, vandals and looters have set fires to and have looted buildings all over the country. And the rioters are mostly young people. The police are calling hooligans. They're using technology to get in touch with one another, and they're trying to plan new attacks. Ian McKenzie is the BBC's technology editor, and he's with us now from London. Hi, Ian.
Good morning.
We've heard that the rioters are using all different kinds of technologies to communicate and plan targets. Is that what's really going on?
Well, certainly this is what we've been hearing from a few senior police officers and senior politicians. They're calling this the social networking riots, Twitter in particular, and also the BlackBerry Messenger system being singled out as mechanisms that some of these rioters are using to incite others, to call in other people to come and join them, and also to coordinate their efforts when they're out on the street of an evening.
I imagine police have different technologies too. Do they have a step up, do you think?
What we're seeing here, according to some of the experts that I've spoken to here, is a real turning of the tables, if you like, that in the past it's been police who've been able to communicate and coordinate in a very fast, dynamic way. But now young people have all of these technologies at their disposal to coordinate their movements. And in some senses, they're using that to outpace the police.
Have tech companies responded to this? Are they doing anything to help law enforcement?
Now, we have a piece of legislation which enables law enforcement to approach communications companies like BlackBerry and obtain subscriber information if it relates to criminality. But I've been speaking to a lawyer this morning who said they really would need specific identities. They can't just go out and do a trawl for everyone who's mentioning particular keywords.
The BBC's Ian McKenzie, the technology editor there. Ian, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, a group of Belgian scientists says fatty comfort foods help people feel better. Doctors played sad music and showed pictures of sad people to a group of volunteers and fed half of those people high-fat foods and the other half a placebo. Well, the people who ate the fatty foods stayed cheerful. Researchers say it dates back to the Stone Age when fat was essential for survival. Survival, of course, is the mantra these days of the stock market. So given the latest happenings on Wall Street, I say go ahead. Eat those French fries and top it off with a chocolate milkshake, too. It might make the world a happier place. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad apps.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.